This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
More than 2.9 million net square feet of exhibition space, more than 170,000 attendees, more than 4,400 exhibitors, more than 1,200 brand new startups, but there's only one of me, Jeff Sandhu, and I've only covered like 20% of CES so far. So yes, I'm here at one of the largest technology exhibition, conference, trade show, whatever you want to call it. And this is actually my first time here at CES in Las Vegas. So apologies in advance if I babble on a bit too long because there's a lot to cover while trying to contain my excitement. Kicking things off in the new decade, CES 2020 has been a place for the flashiest 8K TVs, the self-driving technology, smart gadgets for your health, artificial humans. I know this is something that you guys talked about in the recent show on BizBytes as well. Smart home, smart toilets, smart pets, smart showers. Basically, everything is here. Honestly, CES is just too big for one person to cover, but you can basically break it down into three big chunks. The first one is the panel sessions and the announcements that started way back on Monday. This year, Ivanka Trump made an appearance, which was highly debated on social media. Her keynote session was on the path to the future of work, together with Gary Shapiro. He's the CEO of CTA, the Consumer Technology Association, whom are the organizers of CES. What I thought was interesting was how security checks was maintained as per usual. Nothing more stricter than attending other kind of panel sessions. Ivanka Trump spoke a lot about how the current and the future state of the US workforce is, the policies that she has championed with industry players.
You just mentioned self-driving cars. Well, in the majority of the states in this country, truck driving is the single largest occupation. So while I share your view that innovation, A, it can't be bridled, right? It never works. Any country who's tried to impede innovation, they fail to do so over the long run and they hurt themselves in the short and the medium run. And I also believe that innovation is a net job producer. You know, jobs will be created in industries that don't even exist today because of innovation. Innovation will enable productivity innovation will allow for more inclusive growth. Disabled Americans, we were talking about before, will be able to use robotic arms to do tasks they wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. So I'm a big believer in innovation and the positive impact that productivity has on an economy. And fighting for American dominance in the industries of the future. With that said, it is our responsibility as we think about this country and the health of all Americans to be anticipating where there will be disruption, whether it's long-term or short-term, and coming up with a plan to help transition those people. So when I hear employers would come to me and they'd say, we need more skilled workers, we need more skilled workers, and then I'd read about them laying off segments of their workforce because they were investing in productivity and not having spent the time when they had known 3 years prior they'd be making that investment and upgrading those systems, not taking the time to take those workers and reskill them and retrain them into their job vacancies. Well, I have very little sympathy for that.
And she mostly talked about their Pledge to American Workers program that is an upskill and reskill talent initiative. And, you know, there may be some things that we could actually learn a thing or two. I could probably do a whole show about this, so maybe stay tuned for that. The other two parts of CES is basically the giant technology players and then finally the startups. So let's start with the giants of the industry first. The coolest, most elaborate, most insane, mind-blowing thing I've seen so far came from Mercedes. Now, when I say coolest, it doesn't mean practical or realistic. It just simply means cool. So Mercedes took the stage on day zero, which is the day before the official opening of CES exhibition floor. and they talked about connecting us with our car, man and machine. Now, they are, after all, inventors of the first automobile. So they decided to go nuts at CES 2020 as they collaborated with James Cameron and the production crew behind Avatar to come up with the Mercedes Vision AVTR that is short for Advanced Vehicle Transformation.
Here it is, the Mercedes-Benz Vision AVTR. It is a show car, and show cars are here to spark our imagination of the possible, just like good science fiction movies do. Imagine a car that delivers a completely new experience, which combines an inside-out design philosophy with an outside-in approach to connecting passengers and environment. This car showcases new ideas of communication. For instance, by using its bionic flaps.
Cool. When they first drove this out, yes, drove. It's actually a concept car that can be driven. You could actually hear the audience jaw drops. The Vision AVTR is fully electric, of course. It uses an organic battery technology, so it's 100% recyclable. The tech in the car is insane, but so too is the design. At the back of the car, the Vision AVTR is covered with this, like, it's 33 reptilian-like scales that Mercedes calls them bionic flaps. And they say that, you know, maybe this could be used to communicate with the people outside of the car. There are a lot of design cues from the Avatar series, but most importantly, Mercedes is thinking of a future where the connection between humans, machine, and nature will be living together in perfect symbiosis. The car connects to you when you step inside and detects your pulse to start the engine. There's no steering wheel or pedal because, you know, it's autonomous, of course. Now, I highly recommend you to go and check out the stories and images and videos of this Mercedes-Benz Vision AVTR because it's really cool. Mercedes spoke a lot about the impact of cars are having on nature and the changes in the landscape since the first car was invented more than 130 years ago. What they're saying is that it's not that we need less cars, is but we need better vehicles. And they believe that one day it would be possible for a vehicle to have zero negative impact on the planet. So anyways, I will let you look at those images now, and later on, I'll give you some updates on the other cool tech I've seen at CES 2020. So I'll speak to you in just a bit.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
All right, so remember how I said CES can be broken down into three different categories or chunks, the keynote and panel sessions, and then the big tech players and their announcements. And then, of course, it's the smaller tech players and their exhibitions. So in this part, I'm going to throw you some cool items that I've seen in one of the sections at CES 2020. This is not based on all the stuff that's on display at CES because, again, I've only covered about like 20% of it. There's a lot more to go. But so far, there has been some pretty cool tech coming out from the not-so-big players. The first one is probably, well, I guess, you know, when I say not so big players, the first one is pretty big because it's actually coming from Samsung. It's the Zero TV. This is a TV that can rotate, yo. It's cool, it's lit, it's yeet, it's everything a millennial or a Gen Z would want. Hence why I'm dropping those mad slangs, yo. So the reality is, I don't think any millennial or Gen Z can actually afford it because I'm sure it would cost a lot of money. They didn't announce the price, but it's actually already available in Korea for about $1,600, which is about 6,500 ringgit. Cool. So from smart TVs, we move on into smart pajamas. Yep, pajamas. They are back in trend, but this pajamas is quite something. It's from a Tokyo-based startup called Zenoma, and it's called the eSkin Sleep and Lounge Collection. It's got two main styles, the classic grandpa look, which is, you know, pretty baggy. And then it's got this like jersey kangaroo pocket sweatsuit. It's like to keep you snugly. Why is this cool, you may ask? Because it actually monitors your heart rate, breathing, and also vital signs while the wearer is sleeping. It gives you insights on sleeping patterns and activity levels. And if the wearer trips over or has fallen off from the bed or sofa or wherever the wearer is sleeping, it will set off an alarm. This is actually intended for the elderly people, and it's just brilliant because, you know, unlike wristbands and other type of monitoring that's used for sleep tracking, you know, these kind of devices, it's a little bit invasive. It's also annoying that you have to wear something that requires daily charging. This will be launched in the second quarter in the US. Now, sticking with sleep, something I thought was pretty cool was the Climate 360 mattress. It's a smart mattress, and just like how I mentioned previously that, you know, wearables are annoying to sleep with, putting technology in a mattress, I think it's a brilliant idea. The Climate 360 will use microclimates to apparently reduce how often you wake up during the night by keeping your body at the right temperature. It has two temperature zones, so couples can each have, like, I guess, you know, different temperatures for themselves. It will give you daily reports, which will give you insights into how well you slept. It will include metrics like your heart rate variability, your circadian rhythm, also your breathing. Now, it won't come until 2021, and it will be launched in the US first. Now, speaking of launching in the US, Impossible Foods, they followed up last year's success with the Impossible Burger by launching the Impossible Pork. Now, this is a plant-based meat food tech product, and after many months of being grossed out by the image of plant-based meat, I'm actually kind of sold by it. It tastes and smells like the real thing itself. I spoke about this at length with their CEO, Patrick Brown, and also one of their scientists on yesterday's evening edition show, so you can, I guess, you know, check that podcast out. Next up is something I initially wanted to label this as weird, but it's actually really smartly designed, so I'm a little bit torn here. I'm talking about the Kohler Alexa-enabled showerhead. You can actually now listen to your favorite music in the shower just by speaking to your showerhead. You can also ask your showerhead to tell you about, you know, today's latest news if that's what you, you know, want to do in the morning while showering. It's something that's totally unnecessary, but it's actually really beautifully designed. There are two versions. One comes with just a Bluetooth speaker connection. That's $99. That's not too bad. The Alexa version comes for about $159. Oh, and the showerhead is actually a separate cost. That costs another $70. Also, it's waterproof, of course. Duh. Now, there's plenty of tech to help those with disabilities. There are robotic arms to help those who are, I guess, physically challenged to help them lift things that they previously couldn't. But my favorite pick is something that's called the Seed Cane. It's a smart cane for the blind or visually impaired. The smart cane detects nearby obstacles through an infrared sensor, and it alerts its user through vibrations and sound. There's also an LED light on the cane, so it can let other people around the user to know that, you know, there's a blind person that's going to come through, because the LED light is pretty visible. Guardians of the users can also be alerted via an app if the user is in the wrong location or has gone missing. It's super cool, and I love seeing how technology is helping people with disabilities. Next up is something that people commented on my Instagram story saying that, hey, you know, we think this is really cool and, you know, I want this in KL, can you buy it for me and stuff? And these were all pet lovers. I'm talking about the Invoxia Pet Tracker. It's basically a GPS tracker for your cat or your dog, but it has some pretty cool things built into it. Not only that, you get to track your pet's movements no matter where you are, you can also set up virtual fences, so if your pet tends to wander off a bit too far, you get an alert and you will receive its position. Now, you can also get a timeline feature on the app to give you an overview of your pet's activities and sleep score and movements. Now, this should help you to understand what your pets can't express and potentially detecting health problems. It doesn't need a SIM card, but it's on a subscription-based service for it to have, you know, these tracking services. It's $139 for the tracker, and it comes free with 3 years of subscription. Following that, it will set you back about $10 per year. So it's pretty reasonable for pet lovers. And finally, I really thought this was just a gimmick because even the founder, when I was speaking to him, really kind of struggled to explain to me how this all works. This is also pet-related and it's called Inupathy. It's a vest strap for your dog that can help you to communicate with your dog better. It measures the heart rate patterns to determine whether your dog is excited, is stressed, is interested, happy, or relaxed. So when the founder was showing it to us, he actually tested it on himself, which is weird. But, you know, someone actually brought their guide dog and all the journalists was kind of like eager to see it in action. And true enough, when the owner of the dog issued a command to it, it changed color to gray, showing that it's actually listening. And then it went all rainbow when the owner actually praised the dog. And then it went into green color when it was just chilling, meaning, you know, everything's all good. Now, this was actually totally unrehearsed. The dog just kind of like walked into the exhibition floor and we all were like, you know, started to like, ooh, this is a good time to test it out. And it turned out that, you know, it kind of works. Also, you know, it was really nice seeing a big golden retriever just walking around in the exhibition hall. Maybe that's why I'm labeling it as cool. Now, I know I haven't seen all the stuff that has been out in the news that you're probably like going crazy about it. So I've got more things to see and I'll leave you all for now. Tomorrow, though, I'll be giving you an update on the weird stuff that I've seen at CES. And trust me, we have a long, long list.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Audrey and Arvin. Today's show is all about CES 2020. Jeff Sandhu just came to us from Vegas with some of the cooler tech and stuff that he's seen at CES 2020 in Vegas. But before that, you know, a quick market update. At break, the FBM KLCI is up 2.3% at 1,592 points. Most of the markets across the region are also in the green. The more active stocks by volume at the moment include Price Worth International, Vortex Consolidated, and Alam Maritime Resources. And a quick look at the ringgit, it is now 4.09 against the US dollar. Mm-hmm. Quick market update there for you. So, Arv, I know, you are a pet owner. Me too. I mean, I used to have some dogs. So for me, like what we were talking about, the Invoxia, you know, that's really cool. Something that we could use right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also like, and I think the pet industry or the pet market had like a huge sort of like presence at CES this year. There was the Inupathy stuff. There was stuff that the Invoxia that we spoke about. There's also someone, there's this company that made a pitch at CES called Go Doggo. Mm-hmm. They pitched their concept at CES. So they have this device that looks like one of those automatic air fresheners that you see stuck on like bathroom walls, the decorative ones that, you know, that you can time. It's billed as a home entertainment and training system for dogs that are left by themselves while their people are at work or away at work. So, you know, when you leave pets at home, they don't have a lot of stimulation, they don't have a lot of activity, and you don't want pets to be in that like dormant state for very long. So they set up this home entertainment system. The device has a treat dispenser and also trains dogs with simple instructions. So it has cameras, it has sensors, and it rewards the dogs with treats. So basically a training mechanism while the people are at work. And I like this because they tested it at CES and they want to start like a GoFundMe or like a Kickstarter. So it's at the concept stages, but from the testing that they did, it seems to work pretty well. The device scans where the dog is and it gives the dog very, very, very simple instructions. If the dog gets to perform that trick, then the dog gets like a treat.
Immediately.
So especially if you have like young dogs at home or young pets, like puppies, and you don't have time to train it and you don't have time to housebreak it, something like GoDoggo could, you know, step in and help people, especially people who are busy at work. Granted, if you're that busy at work, then should you be having a pet, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if it so happens that you do, then GoDoggo might be interesting. So that's another add-on to the Invoxia and the Inupathy stuff.
So, you know, but the nightmare situation could be like, you know, after a while, if you're missing all the time and then the dog just kind of gets attached to the GoDoggo, then, you know, maybe you might prefer the GoDoggo to you.
Yeah, that's sad.
That's like a nightmare situation. Yeah. You know, like the stuff that really shouted out to me, I guess, would be like the sleep stuff, because, you know, like sleep is sacred to me, new mom and all. But here's the thing, the smart bed, the one that won the CES 2020 Best of Innovation winner, I think it's much deserved. This is the bit that Jeff was talking about, you know, where it has like two sides and the technology is built into the mattress.
Yeah.
And it's the first ever bit that actually uses advanced temperature technology to personalize your bed. So like a couple of years ago, we were talking about the smart mattress that could actually, you know, it separates the bed in two. So, you know, your partner could have the cooler side of the bed and you can have the warmer side of the bed if that's what you prefer. Because, you know, this could save marriages if you think about it. You know, nobody has like the same temperature control setting, I think.
Some people like it too cold, some people like it too warm.
It's always a thing for couples. So this bed apparently has gone through like 700 million sleep sessions of data and research. So it's much better than the smart mattress because it's also, it has like more breathable, a more breathable surface, and it has apparently proved to improve quality of sleep by over 15 minutes each day. So now I know you're wondering, like, 15 minutes, is that it? But research has shown that even 15 minutes more of quality sleep per night can increase a body's ability to stave off weight gain and even a cold, and can increase productivity. So sometimes, you know, just an extra 15 minutes of sleep can actually do wonders, and this bit will help you do that. The bed is designed to help people fall asleep faster, stay asleep. So, you know, you've got... and also, it's apparently adjusts throughout the night, warming and cooling each side so that, you know, it just keeps you at the optimal temperature to, like, help with your natural sleep cycles. It will retail for $8,000 in 2021.
Yeah, how are you going to sleep after that?
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, I remember asking you guys for the smart mattress for Christmas or the smart duvet, you know, for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've yet to receive it. 2021, you guys have time to save. $8,000.
So I'm just gonna ignore that you know that last part. But this again goes back to what we were talking about before, like just fundamental tech that people need. Yeah. Like, you know, above all the autonomous cars and electric cars and all the future tech that they come up with, all the fancy stuff. At the end of the day, it's stuff like smart beds or beds that can control temperature, or collars that can find out where your dog is, or, you know, just basic cameras to tell you if your home is safe. Very, very fundamental human stuff that people need. Those are the stuff that keep coming out of CES. Like, every year this happens. Like, every year there's someone who wows the crowd with something futuristic. It doesn't mean it doesn't take off, but it doesn't become mainstream. But stuff like this goes to market.
Practical stuff is also like food. You know, Impossible Foods, they've upped their game from last year. They did the Impossible Burger last year, right? Like Jeff said. And this time they've come up with Impossible Pork, is it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was just, you know, during the break, we were talking to Christine and we were just saying, like, when we started BizBytes a couple of years ago, we actually spoke about lab-grown meat. And, you know, this just seemed like so far in the distant future. But in this room today, all of us have tried, like, either Impossible Meat or Beyond Meat or Impossible Foods, right? We've all tried it. And I remember when I tried it in Perth at the end of last year, I was just like, whoa. You know, I was blown away by, you know, I think if you had blindfolded me, I wouldn't have known the difference.
Mm, and we all say the same thing. Like, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. Like, I had Impossible Lamb in Singapore. And if no one told me that was like from the Impossible brand, I wouldn't have known. I thought, yeah, you know, it tastes like lamb, looks like lamb, it must be lamb. So again, stuff like that. It's just like, you know, food. And you know, as they keep innovating and they keep going mainstream, people like Impossible Foods could actually change the way people consume meat moving forward. quicker than the other tech that we adopt. Like if bigger fast food chains and stuff adopt Impossible Foods, especially if they get here, it could completely change the way people consume meat, the way the meat industry sort of affects the planet. I mean, we talk about like being eco-friendly and sustainable and stuff. If you can cut down even like a portion of the meat consumption and then you give it to Impossible Foods or people like Impossible Foods, that makes like a huge, like a significant difference in everything, like greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide emissions, and everything that people want to cut down on could be based or relying on the shoulders of Impossible Foods.
Exactly. All right. Well, you know, if you have anything to add on to this discussion about CS 2020, tell us what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll be right back with more of our favorites from CS 2020. But before that, here's the Rolling Stones with Get Off My Cloud on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Rush. Today I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj.
It's just the both of us. Mm-hmm. Of course, Christine Wong is here as well. She's the producer of our show. And earlier on, we had a special appearance by Jeff Sandu all the way from Vegas. He is at CES 2020 and he's been raving about all the cool stuff he's seen on the cool...
Also known as Home Sweet Home for Jeff.
For Jeff, exactly. Yeah, so you know, Jeff's been in the same room as Ivanka Trump and James Cameron and some really cool and interesting inventions, and also a giant retriever, right?
Retriever,
golden retriever. Yes. And so, you know, we've just been talking about some of the cool stuff that we've seen or read online because, you know, we're not there, not like Jeff, working hard in Vegas. So, you know, I have to say that I've been really impressed by some of the smart home appliances, or the more specifically, the smart kitchen appliances, because it could just mean less time in the kitchen and more time with family.
Is it like a completely connected kitchen?
Oh, yes, it is. You know, I love when Samsung did their presentation of their smart home presentation, right? And they just had like this really tiny kitchenette in the corner with a large screen TV with football on it. And so for me, that just, you know, cried out to me. Because
that's
that
your
would be,
home sweet home.
that is. And so the guy was talking about how, you know, you could come back from a workout and your kitchen could scan your body and could tell you like the exact meal that you need to have, you know, to kind of optimize your workout and what you got from your workout. And then, you know, your fridge would tell you that you have all these ingredients and this is what you should make. It would display the recipe up there and then you can get to work. And then they even had like these robotic arms that were hanging from the ceiling. I don't know how I feel about that, but they were hanging on the ceiling and then they could actually like prepare the salad for you, you know, put the dressing on it and then serve it to you. And he was also
talking... It's like Jetsons.
It is. Mm. But I think I would prefer Rosie as a robot than like having like, you know, mechanical...
Arms from your ceiling.
Arms hanging from your ceiling, yeah.
Especially if you come back from the gym and then you're like me, I reach for either the chocolate milk or the the wafer bars and the hands just like... Tsh!
Yeah, it just slaps you like, across the face like,
no.
Stop it.
No.
But it was really cool because, you know, if you think about it, like, is this going to be what it's like in, say, like, 5 years? Not even five years, right? This could be like...
Maybe even less. The way things are going, maybe even less, yeah.
And he was also talking about how, like, your oven could actually... your oven or, like, your food processor, they had, like, multi-zonal temperature control. So you could actually make your salad at a different temperature and, like, roast chicken at a different temperature. And all could be done in your oven.
Wow.
You know, like a roasted salad. And
A multitasking oven.
Yeah. And then it could also serve you, like, and your kids at different times of the day, prepare different meals for everyone, you know, based on how fussy, how picky eaters
some
they are.
Some people are, yeah.
Yeah, so it was quite cool. Some of the other, I did some research on this because, you know, I'm seriously considering some of these stuff. But the smart kitchen appliances, there's something called the Weber Connect Smart Grilling Hub. And this is supposed to help barbecuers with everything it takes to cook a meal on a grill. This device apparently alerts users when food is ready to flip, to serve, and to eat. It comes with two probes, a meat probe and an ambient probe, to track information about the food and the grill that can be viewed on your smartphone. So you can put everything in your grill on the outside. you know, and then you can go inside and watch football and just monitor everything on your app, and it will buzz or it will call out to you when, you know, you need to flip your burger or you need flip your shrimp, and then, you know, when it's ready to eat as well. And this could only set us back like 500 ringgit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not bad.
There's another one called the Cooking Pal Julia. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most women would have like a multi-tool cooking processor, food processor thing. But this is touted as the all-in-one solution.
And it's called Julia.
And it's called Julia, right? Quite nice, right? Chop, mix, blend, knead, weigh, boil, emulsify, steam, grind, grate, whisk, and cook. So the only thing it can't do is maybe put the ingredients in the
pot,
the thing itself. So it's like it's a large pot, and it has like different like parts that you can put in. You know, if you want to steam, or if you want to emulsify, if you want to whisk. But other than that, it's just a large pot, and then you've got an 8-inch screen display that will tell you what's happening as well. So it automatically controls the temperature. It will whisk when it needs to. Mm-hmm. It will blend when it needs to. All you need to do is just put the stuff in in the pot itself. And then close, and then when it's time, you just come and pick it up.
So it kind of, I mean, not even like joking, it needs you as the assistant.
Yes. So if you think about it, right, if you have Cooking Pal Julia, and you have those robotic arms, and you have a fridge that can tell you all the ingredients that it has already. And make your orders for you when you run out of certain ingredients, then you don't need to be in the kitchen, do you?
No. You just need to make sure everything's working fine.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, then there's the cleanup that comes with it, right?
Yeah.
So there's one last thing that caught my eye, and it's called the Tonew Electronic Trash Can. Now, this helps make cleanup easier when you've been, you know, working in the kitchen, you know, in inverted commas. It is an electronic trash can that automatically seals your trash bags at the push of a button. And when the bag is full, it will replace it after you take the other bag out. So you take out the old bag, it seals it for you, and you take out the old bag and it automatically replaces it with a new bag.
Oh, so no more that gross tying and stuff.
Yes. So like these are some...
So it's all covered.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
If you have those robotic arms, then that will do the taking out the trash for you as well.
Yeah. You don't even have to go out.
Yes. So we all need a Rosie and a Julia at home.
A Rosie, a Julia. We might also need this thing called Bolly that's from Samsung. So one of the other things that we didn't touch on before, I'm not sure if Jeff is going to touch on it tomorrow, but Samsung unveiled a rolling assistant called Bolly. It's a device that looks like a tennis ball, and it's supposed to function like a R2-D2 or like a BB-8. So what it does is it just follows the person around, follows you around. It tracks what you're doing, and then it can remove stuff from your checklist. If you water the plants, then it removes water plants from your checklist. It checks if everything is okay at home, if the temperature is fine. If it knows that you're sweating, then it increases the air condition levels. It literally looks like a tiny ball. It seems to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the TechCrunch, if not mistaken, or Engadget, they wanted to get more details from Samsung. Samsung is very hush-hush about Bolly. They don't want to say a lot about it at CES, but they wanted the people at CES to just take a look at the ball and know that it works or it functions.
So it's literally the size of a tennis ball.
It's slightly bigger than a tennis ball. It looks like a tennis ball, same color as a tennis ball, and it literally follows people around, and it tracks your actions and your movements. It knows what you're doing, and then it sort of organizes your day for you
It's like having your mom follow you around, but it's a tennis ball
shape. But yeah, they actually say that it even bleeps and bloops like a Star Wars droid. So it follows that sort of template. It has a very cute like bleep bloop sounds when you do something, when it approves of something. And when you tell it to do something, it reacts in its own way. And then it syncs up to your phones, since it's by Samsung, then to your Samsung phones. So that's one. So Bolly is pretty interesting. The other thing is, of course, the Samsung had neons. So like artificial humans, they wanted to show at CES. Neons sort of fell short. They said that they were going to be like fully virtual humans that could react to you, could train themselves with machine learning and stuff. They were slightly glitchy.
Okay.
And people said the prototypes were not as good as the ads that were hyping the CES stuff. So that's aside.
So are these avatars or like...
They're supposed to be... No. They're not avatars. They are their own virtual humans. So they live with their own sort of computerized brain and neural networks and stuff. So they don't connect with... They are based on actual people, but you don't have to feed them anything. They just learn by themselves. So those neons were kind of glitchy. We'll see how they do like next year's CES. But those are a couple of things. The other one was, you know, Sony's car. So they spoke about it on Cruise Control yesterday in detail about Sony's Vision S, I think it was called, Vision S. And Samsung's virtual keyboard, the smart keyboard that they also unveiled, which we've seen videos of. I think that is the most practical one. It basically turns any flat surface in front of you into a keyboard for your phone.
But, you know, my question about that keyboard, I took a look at that when Rich showed us that video, right? Was that, you know, if I type, like, not the conventional way, I didn't take any typing classes, you know, like, will it be able to monitor what keys I need, the keystrokes?
I think as long as you know where the keys are, it'll be able to know what you're going for. So I think in your head, you need to know what the keyboard looks like, basically. If you don't know where the letters are, if you have to keep looking at the keyboard, like a lot of us do, because a lot of us didn't go for like typewriter training and stuff, then it's going to be a bit glitchy or slow. Then it's not of much use. But people who know where the keys are on a typewriter, don't have to look down, then it works like perfectly for them.
I still have to look down, so I don't know if this is going to work for me. All right, it's time to wrap up. You know, Jeff mentioned earlier that, you know, just one Jeff Sandu was not enough to cover all of CES 2020. I think that's a cry for help. I think next year we should join him.
Oh, we should.
Yeah, we definitely should. Yeah. Then we can spread ourselves out and cover everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have more from CES 2020 tomorrow. I think Jeff is planning to cover just the weird stuff that he's managed to see.
Stuff.
Yeah, and he said it's going to be a long, long list. So that, of course, was our show, CES 2020 in a nutshell. But don't go anywhere. Right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is the Breakfast Grill replay. The KLCI closed off 2019 as the most unloved market in the region. So the Morning Run spoke to Patrick Chang of Principal Asset Management and Alex Chia of RHB Group to find out what happened to Malaysia's stock market last year and if there is money to be made this year in 2020. That's coming up right after the 1 p.m. news. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj, Christine Wong, and the whole gang from the Enterprise team, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.